This is a recording of the RSC workshop taped at the first California Mid-State Regional Convention for NA in Fresno, California on Saturday, June 30th, 1990. In observance with the 11th tradition stating anonymity at the public level, please keep this tape within the fellowship and observe the anonymity of all NA speakers.
That was clear. Our first speaker is going to be Yo Steve.
Yo, I'm Steve. I'm an addict. Gene did that, you know. Flip, you know. See, my take is saying, well, you know, this is Mid-State Convention, you know, and you're the XRSR, so, and, you know, and really, I'm an H&I subcommittee chair, you know, for the region. And I just feel like it was purposely that he should have came first. But I see that's why he stood up front, you know, so you don't have to take anybody's inventory, I guess. So he took mine, and here I am, you know. Like I was asking somebody, what do you say at our RSC workshop, you know, Regional Service Committee? And, you know, and they just said, well, just tell how you got involved in your region, you know. And that's just basically what I'm going to tell you, and tell you that some things that I've gotten from regional work, you know. See, the best thing about going to a workshop, I don't have to go through qualifications, because you know I'm an addict. Second thing is that I'm a junkie for service. You know, I'm involved in service, and it's an area that I have to watch, you know, because I want to be involved in all of it, you know. And like right now, presently, I'm involved in the Regional Convention Committee, and I sit on the board for the RSO, you know, Regional Service Office. Down in Southern California, we have a pretty unique situation down there. It's like we have 18 areas, and we have 18 areas that are represented at the RSC, and we have a pretty strong H&I subcommittee, and we have a pretty strong activities committee. Literature and PI, they're coming up on the back end, like, you know, like in other areas, I believe, you know. You know, the way I got involved is like I was, again, back to when I first got clean, it's like I was involved in the area, and it's like I was area chair of H&I, and, you know, I had this real urge for control, you know what I mean? I had this control urge, you know. And, you know, and because you already told me that I was powerless, you know, and you already told me that my life was unmanageable, so you already ego deflated me on that end as far as my life is concerned. But I saw a unique situation that I could get involved in, that I could get a little power back, you know, you know, and that's what I did. You know, I got involved. I happened to be in an area that was a new area, and it just got started, and they didn't really know who I was and what I was about and where I came from, and they already busted me down, and I had about 6 months clean, and then they said, well, H&I ain't about nothing, let him be the chair, you know, because he sounds like he's one of those bad guys, you know. And I took that and ran with it, you know, like I'm going to make this the best subcommittee in the whole goddamn world, you know what I mean? And that's the way I took it, and that's the way I felt about it, and I did it addictively, you know, I did it where I slept, ate, and drank 18 hours, you know. You know, it's like I went and made hospitals make us take a panel in there, you know what I mean? And quite naturally, what happens in service work is when you start taking things on your own and you start you know, self-willing thing, it seems like all the old-timers come out the woodwork. You know what I mean? And the people that's been in service, they come out of the woodwork and hold on, Junior, and all that other stuff, you know? And quite naturally, that's what happened to me. You know, they said, you can't do that unless you bring it back to your subcommittee, you know? And, you know, I only been clean for about 6-7 months, man. And I said, well, y'all told me I done stopped using drugs. I can still run shit over here. You know what I mean? I'm doing it for the fellowship. I'm doing it for the love of narcotics. And now I had all these reasons and all these justifications on why, you know. And here it was that I didn't take time out, man, I wasn't ready to accept suggestions. I wasn't ready to sit down and read the book or read our guides that the people that walked before us, you know, taken to the WSC and gotten on approved literature. You know, the temporary working guide to service and how you go by the guidelines and utilize the guidelines in your service work. So I did that. You know, it's just that simple. I just after all the humiliation and after all the getting called on and getting put down and everything in these business meetings and arguing and fighting and mad and want to fight and all that other good stuff, is that I ended up, man, starting to read. I got the basic text and I started applying principles to my service work. You know, I started applying certain steps to my service work. You know, and I really started looking at the traditions, because I wanted to call, like when I first came around here, I was one of those NA cops, you know, you gotta say clean only please, you know what I mean? And I was an NA cop. So when anybody says sober or anything in a meeting or whatever, or addict alcoholic, I make some smart aleck remark, you know what I mean? And the day I learned by reading the basic text, you know, that through the introduction, you know, that's not what this is all about. You know, personal recovery depends on inner unity, and that's where it basically all starts at, you know. And, you know, from 89, it's like I went to the region on a rep, because the rep couldn't go. We didn't have a rep, all right, but we had a small area, so I had to go to the region to be the representative from the region, from the area to the region. And when I went to the region, it was only about 6 areas showing up out of 18. And what they would do, they'd come to the meeting and they'd say, okay, my area, we got 20 panels and all doing well. Thank you. Boom. It's over. You know? And the meeting would be over in 20 minutes and they didn't do anything. You know what I mean? They didn't even get into, you know, in the chair, he was kicked back and I don't have to mention his name, but the chair at that time, he was going to other fellowships, and you know, I was all confused now. Now I done really got confused. Noreen, she just left and this other chair moved in, you know what I mean? Matter of fact, she was there, she was the chair, and she was pregnant, and she was going out. This other chair came in, and she was there when they elected me as a regional rep to the RSC, H&I regional rep to the RSC. And that was a big honor to me, you know. But my head told me, now I'm going to be the president of the United States type of attitude. You know, my head told me that when I walk into the meetings, I can stand up with my chest out and everything, and, you know, I'm the regional rep of hospitals and institutions of Southern California, where Narcotics Anonymous started at, you know what I mean? So, that was a real big deal back then, you know. And little did I know, man, what it was going to take. Little did I know what the commitment to regional service work really is. Little did I know, man, it takes a lot of humility, you know, a lot of ego deflation, and a lot of commitment, man, to a regional service position, you know. And you have to deal with the regular, everyday situations that you deal with as far as in your relationships at home, as far as in your work at home. Because today, man, it's like my phone rings on a consistent basis, and I make long-distance calls on a consistent basis, and I'm asked a lot of things of it, and instead of me trying to take on the whole world, it's like I've been able to sit back and delegate. Not delegate, but I mean, you know, suggest other people, you know, that want to do things, you know. Because there's a lot of people that want to do things, they just don't know how to get involved, you know. Basically, from that rep position, it's like the chair. I would go up to the RSC meeting and report what H&I was doing at their H&I subcommittee in our region. And what we did, we supported the other areas in hospitals and institutions. And, I was real, real confused. It's because what happened is that I started talking with people that had a little bit of time around here, that had been involved in H&I a long time. Some people that were, quite naturally, my head was saying, well, shit, you're doing it wrong. Now, according to this book, well, you just don't know, son, just keep coming back. And I would get resentments behind that, you know. And what I would do is do my homework, you know. I would do my homework, and the homework that I would do is things like I would read the book in service, and I would read H&I guidelines, and I would call people that have been involved that I think had a pretty good program, and I would ask them about, and, you know, in the process of that, you say, well, Joe over here, he says to do this, and he says to do that, but Joe don't know shit, you should do that, that. It was always this back and forth type of thing. But it always told me, somebody always told me, man, the only authority in Narcotics Anonymous is the basic text, you know. And it goes back to our second tradition, you know, that through a loving God, our good conscience is, you know, through our higher power, you know. So I was able to start applying some of these traditions to what I did. And I got away from calling people up on things. And all I did was get into the place about do the best I can for myself. Because what I came to find out is that I've gotten real grateful for Narcotics Anonymous because it's brought me a long way. You know, and through service work, see, I really believe that you work these steps between service and relationships. You know, service work and relationships. I believe you get a lot of pain behind service work, because I done been in a lot of arguments, you know. Because my head told me I thought this was right, but we have a group, you know, and the group is, that's who we're responsible to, you know. See, if my head told me, like I said, I wanted to be the president, but then I didn't know that I was just a trusted servant, you know. Just another arm of a trusted servant. And today what I've grown to is grown to be a trusted servant. It's that I've been able to be in service of hospitals and institutions. And what I've done is that our hospital and institution subcommittee have grown to be able to be a working subcommittee. And a working subcommittee on a regional level has became to be where each area has gotten involved in our hospital and institution, you know. Instead of an area coming and just say, hey, we're so-and-so, we got a certain amount of meetings, and we're doing this, and that's it, and they're out of there. What it's come to believe now is that we're such and such an area, and we're working on the new directory for all the panels in the Southern California region, and where we are today, and our literature requirements are this. And we've gotten letters from this prison, and we've written back to that prison and everything. And it's getting to be a real interesting thing where we have worked into having quarterly meetings, you know, to take care of the business of hospitals and institutions on a quarterly basis. What has happened in hospitals and institutions on a regional level in Southern Cal is that we have picked up all the institutions because we thought we can best service them as a whole, as 18 areas on as a whole. As it was before, an area would handle an institution, and the same people kept on going into the institution. You know, the same people over and over and over again. And that's good for some people, but we thought of the fact that people are steadily coming into Narcotics Anonymous, and they need to have an opportunity to go into these prisons. They need to have an opportunity to share their experience, strength, and hope. And so, as a chair, what I do on a regional level is what I do every month is if somebody suggests to me, you don't run the meeting, you just guide the meeting. And from that chair position is what I've been able to do is prepare an agenda on a monthly basis by suggested by our new H&R handbook. And I try to follow that handbook as close as possible, you know. And I try to follow Robert's Rules of Order as close as possible. And what has happened is that we've gotten a good working subcommittee at regional level of H&R. You know, we have a subcommittee that people show up on a consistent basis. A couple months ago, we had our first H&I Learning Day on a regional basis, and it was probably, you know, it was a real good event, you know, a real good event. It was the first time that I was able to ego deflate myself, and I didn't get involved into running up to the microphone because I'm chair of H&I, letting everybody know where I'm at. I was able to work a program as far as I was concerned. You know, I was able to let each area do something in the convention, I mean, in the learning day, so therefore, everybody would be involved. As a result of that, man, it was completely crowded and turned out to be a very successful learning day, you know. You know, regional service has its ups and has its downs. My suggestion to anybody getting involved in regional service is, you know, the suggested literature that we have that's come from the WSC for regional services, you know, it's good literature. You know, suggested if you get a service position in the region, you know, is to read up on your service position and share with somebody else that has shared that same regional position and find out some of their things. I know for a fact myself is that I go to service meetings and I'm not even an officer. See, a lot of people just go just because they're an officer, you know. But I go to a meeting and I'll raise my hand as an interested member of Narcotics Anonymous. They just hate it, you know. They just hate it, you know. And I'll pull out the book, and I'll have the basic text in front of me, and I'll have guidelines in front of me, and I'll quote from whatever guideline I have and whatever part of the book I have. And they hate it, you know. But that's the reality is that we have guidelines, and we have guidelines in region also, and nobody runs nothing on Narcotics Anonymous. I believe that's the one of the most important things that attracted me to this fellowship. There wasn't no leaders, wasn't no bosses. And this group was ran for addicts by addicts. Southern California region is like my involvement in the convention committee. My involvement in the convention committee is every convention that I've been to is that I observe other conventions. I've become a convention junkie also, another area, that is an issue in my life, But what I get from it, man, I get this fellowship, I get this feeling of belonging, and I'm willing to pick up coffee cups, I'm willing to straighten out chairs, and I'm willing to do whatever work, this is how I get on that issue of being able to reach out, get to know other people, get to share with other people, because I had that introverted attitude too until I got in this fellowship, and I wanted to know people, and I've learned a lot from a lot of people around in this fellowship. A lot of people show their love for me too through my service work, through the RSO, as I sit on the board of directors at the RSO, Southern California region. And that's one of those areas that they're in control of what goes on in our region. They're kind of the office, And I'm sharing this, but I don't know, I might get in trouble for it or whatever have you. But I really feel the only reason I show up is, again, as an interested member of Narcotics Anonymous, I just sit there. I'm not a real working member of that committee. I just raise my hand and vote. That's all I do, and I don't take on any commitments, because in the beginning I was really overcommitted because I was running from myself, And today I've slowed down a lot of my commitments, I've been able to take a lot of suggestions. I've been able to allow other people working because I'm not going to try to run everything. And I mean, as an addict, I want to run all of it. I want to make sure that I got the coffee right and I got this perfect and that perfect and everything's going perfect. Because what happened, I didn't think nobody else could run nothing except me. But through the steps that I found out I don't run anything. Through the steps I found out I got to take back seat. And I'm saying I'm of service. I'm not the one that's running anything, and I'm just a trusted servant, And through that, man, is that I've gotten a lot of experience, man, and a lot of hope, a lot of love, And I've learned a lot about humility, learned a lot about ego deflation. And I don't argue as much. I get loud, but I don't argue as much. And I'm really glad the president invited me up to come up and share, on regional service workshop, and I like to thank you for letting me share.
Our second speaker is Gene, California Mid-State Regional Vice Chair.
Hey, Dan. My name is Gene, and I'm an addict.
Hi, Dan.
And Steve, I just wanted it to be known that I didn't want Mid-State to come off as non-hospitable, so guests should always go first. In thinking about regional service, I was talking to some friends and it's like, well, gee, what do you say about regional service? And I sort of sarcastically said that, there's probably two agendas. There's the printed agenda, and then there's folks' personal agendas, and then we come, and then we, bang heads with one another and, get hurt feelings and all that stuff. Sometimes get some business done, and when we're done, we make amends, and we call that service. I guess what I was going to talk about was, what has happened with the Mid-State region, and it's like where we come from and maybe a little bit about where we've gotten to now. I believe that it was in 87 that the regional formation started, and it actually was for a number of different reasons. Those reasons ended up being that we were a part of Northern California and for the areas, and there are five areas in this region, for the areas to travel to Northern California, to Berkeley, it took us, anywhere between, 3 hours and 6 hours. And we're spending a lot of time and energy and money traveling. And as a result of that, what we wanted to do was take our energies and our services and try to channel them to service the areas within the Mid-State region. So out of that, out of those chief concerns, what we decided to do was get into a formation committee, and that formation committee stayed in formation for about 18 months. And what we did was we basically just talked about, you know, what are the ramifications of forming and how do we go about doing this and what's the best way to serve and in a variety of areas. You know, we talked about literature and H&I and finances and all of that stuff. I think that we, when I got involved in the regional formation, was in August of 88, I think. And that was when we met in Tulare. And at that meeting, what we did was we started writing guidelines for the region. That meeting started, I think, at about 10 o'clock in the morning, and I left about 3 or 4 in the afternoon. To give you an idea of what kind of commitment it takes, I believe that they were finished writing guidelines somewhere about midnight. So it was a real long and involved process. So we took those guidelines, we got them out to the fellowship, to the areas. The areas decided, yeah, we like these guidelines, and all of the areas got involved in an exhaustive discussion about whether or not we wanted to really form this region composed of these five areas. It was, it's really exciting process. A lot of things were talked about, and you know, just in terms of, you know, gee, was this a personality split? We're like, you know, doing this out of resentments and all the rest of that stuff. The other thing is that out of that adversity, some neat things about unity came out of that. For example, there was an area, I believe that it was King's Tulare, that basically was still in the process of discussing whether or not they wanted to join. And one of the things that the formation committee decided was that, you know what, we're not going to form as a region until this area makes its mind up. Because what we didn't want to do was set up that area to basically be forced to make a decision and or be isolated. So to consider Narcotics Anonymous as a whole and incorporate our traditions and all of that stuff was a really neat process and really neat experience. In November of 88, I believe that we decided that we called ourselves a region. You know, we had been involved in that discussion process and had got some guidelines together, had some plan of action. We then, in November, we wrote to the World Service Conference, let them know what we were doing and that we'd like to come to the conference and be introduced to the conference floor. I think in September is when I was elected as the RSR. And my feelings were much like Steve's, in that it's really flattering, you know. Because, you know, when you read the duties of RSR, it's just like, wow, you want me to do that? In a lot of ways it goes right to my head, and yeah, I'm going to be the president of Narcotics Anonymous. In that process, we wrote those letters and we sent the information that we had and sent it all off to the World Service Conference. And in 1989, at WSC, John and I, who was the alternate at the time, went down to the World Service Conference. Now, that is an extremely fear-producing experience. And not beknownst to me, I had never been to a World Service Conference before. And what I didn't know was that, well, actually, no, I was told this, but I didn't realize the impact, was that new regions are introduced the first thing Monday morning when the conference starts. And I think John and I were both scared to death. When we got up to read the report, the way the conference is set up, there are some aisles and microphones in the aisles, and I went up to one of the microphones in the aisles, and the chairperson said, "Oh no, you need to come to the front." And fortunately, I was behind a podium, and my knees, nobody could see that my knees were shaking. And I would move from one leg to the other, but it wouldn't stop my knees from shaking. So in any event, the conference voted us in, and we were then, you know, conference participants at WSC. What has happened since then has been a lot of growing pains, a tremendous amount of growing pains. There have been times within our regional committee there's been just a lot of fear, where you know, it's like, you know, fears about, gee, we've never done this before, we're just learning, and what's going to happen, you know, what's going to happen with money? And whenever you raise the issue of money with addicts in the fellowship, you know, it's just like, you know, folks just sort of get on fire with it. And out of that, just none of us really knowing what's going to happen, you know, there's just been some real conflicts, and a lot of learning experiences. And as most new committees start, what happened with our region, you know, is that folks showed up at the elections. It was like, yeah, I want to do this, and yeah, I want to do that, and oh boy, you know, 2 or 3 months down the road, you know, half of those folks are gone. And, you know, part of it is because, you know, making a regional service commitment is an extensive commitment. You know, the committee that we have now, the complexion of the committee that we have now, is a group of folks that are real genuinely committed, and, you know, we're in it. And what happens is that when it comes down to the actual work, for example, as RSR, you know, I spent probably 10 hours a week just in reading information and trying to stay abreast on what's going on and reading, you know, everything from everywhere and folks calling and all of that stuff. You know, the beauty in that experience for me has been that what I do for work is that I administrate. And what happens is that in my job, you know, I get to, you know, I'm making decisions and all of those kinds of things, and I get, you know, it gets to go into my head, and what happens is I'll go to the Regional Service Committee with that attitude, and I will promptly be put in my place, you know, no, we're not considering that, and let's come back to Earth, Gene, and, you know, yeah, I think I'm known for just like, you know, talking extensively in regional meetings, and brought up issues, you know, and it's real important and, you know, needs to be right and all of that stuff, or things that I thought were real important, put it out to the committee, and the committee's, well, no, it's not important to us, and thank you. I believe that those of us that are well adjusted are not in the fellowship. anyway, what has happened, I forgot where I was going. Sometimes I think I have my own regional committee. What has happened over this time is that we looked at, for example, literature development supplying literature. And we have been in this painstaking process of, you know, let's see how, you know, where we can get literature from the office or from Northern California, you know, the cheapest, and, you know, supply all of that stuff. And it finally occurred to the region that, you know, the areas were doing a great job at getting their own literature. You know, there was like no need for us to get in the way. And, you know, one of the things that our region doesn't do is supply literature to the areas. The areas are doing great, you know. Let's see, what else have we done? The whole thing around this convention has been an exciting and sometimes painful process. What we did was, I think in sometime in September or August, we let the areas know that you know, if we want to put on a convention, or we want to look into putting on a convention, and gee, let's have all the areas put in bids and that kind of thing. And in our I believe in our October meeting, we again put that out. Our October meeting was an extremely painful meeting. We went through some changes behind money and sending the RSR and the alternate to St. Louis at that point. And that particular meeting, a lot of us ended up in tears. I ended up in tears at that meeting. But at that meeting, we also, you know, let that information be known. Sometime in January, you know, it was like, this is it for the bids, you know, hey folks, this is it for the bids. In February, what had happened was that we gave it all to the activities committee within our regional committee and said, you know, whatever decision that you folks make about which area is going to work for our convention is the decision that, you know, we're going to go with. So we made this decision, and just as when we started our region, you know, folks came out of the woodwork. And the same thing happened with our convention. Folks then came out of the woodwork and started, you know, discussing, gee, we wanted an opportunity and all that stuff. And through further discussion and information, folks, I think came away with a comfortable feeling that what we had decided to do as a regional committee was really like the most prudent and spiritual way of handling it. And that's the beauty of service, is that, you know, there has been times when I thought, you know, folks are just going to get up and leave, you know, and, you know, the committee is going to end up with like three or four people. There is my own fear, my own control issue, in that, you know, I heard it defined this way, is that, you know, control is caring about people with the belief that they don't have an IQ high enough to take care of themselves. And it's like every time, you know, I end up pulling my foot out of my mouth, and, you know, really needing to back up and work a third step. That it's my own fears that get in the way. The way this convention came about was really a miracle. The committee started out with like $300, given by the regional committee, and from that $300, this is what has happened. That's like amazing. Some of the respective areas have made some contributions, and I think that the Fresno area, or the 209 South area service committee has made some contributions. This convention has really been, in terms of service, a really unifying experience. I mean, we've all come together for a common purpose, and that is to, you know, really have a unifying convention. And that was, you know, that was our whole point in doing all of this. And it's just been really neat. To bring the committee up to date, or to bring us up to date, we recently had a turnover in and service positions. Our elections are in May after the World Service Conference. And I think that our region is fairly involved in what is happening, not only within its region, but throughout the fellowship. And, you know, in doing service, you know, there are some, like, principles about being, for example, an RSR and not necessarily agreeing with the conscience of the region and needing to go to the World Service Conference and make those feelings known, and carrying the voice. And, you know, that has been a really painful process. And there are, like, opposing, you know, I do sort of like what Steve has done, you know, and call people and say, what do I do, you know, and how do I handle this? And there's been, like, a variety of feelings about it. You know, some have said, well, gee, you know, you're of service, and your duty is to basically carry the message and the voice of the folks within your region. And the other end of it is that, you know, if there are things that you simply cannot support personally and principally, that what you need to do is just let the region know that and tell them that they need to find somebody else to do it. So it's like, out of all of that, you know, it's just been a real painful process for me. We had our elections in May, and we had some turnover in the service positions. What we have done since then, just in the last few months, is that we are looking into and taking a real close look at what we are doing as a regional committee and what our real purpose is. And, for example, we've had open discussions about, like, our need for our regional subcommittees and whether or not we really think we need them, whether or not we really think we need a PI committee or an H&I committee and those kinds of things, whether or not we really think we need to meet every month, those kinds of things. And really, you know, some of the principal stuff has been, how do we get some recovery into our service? And looking at different ways to do that. And that has been where actually we're sort of like, we've finished some of that, you know, and what the feeling is as Steve has said, is that, you know, having committees and having a place for folks to come and be of service outweighs, you know, even if it's just one person coming, you know, from one area to talk with the PI chair, and that's all that shows up, then that's what needs to happen. Because what the thing that the region feels strongly about is that we need to have a place for folks to have the opportunity to be of service. And, you know, that's part of where we've left off with some of that discussion. And the other thing is just, you know, once again examining, you know, what we're doing as a regional committee and how often we need to meet and those kinds of things. And that basically brings us up to date, and here we are at our first regional convention, which is just outstanding and amazing, and I am a truly grateful member. Throughout the fellowship, and I've put this in some of my reports, or one of them anyway, there regions have various names, and there is a region called the Best Little Region, and what I believe is that the California Mid-State region is the best region in Narcotics Anonymous. So thanks for letting me share.
Yeah, my name is Bill, and I'm an addict, and I'm from Alameda, and we don't have any, like, fellowships. We have plenty of meetings, but we don't really have fellowships, and we were wondering how we start a fellowship, whether we would be going through, like, an Alano club and having our meetings, or NA meetings at an Alano club and starting Alano club. We're not even familiar with how to do it. I think the most sobriety we have there is, like, 5 years, and... I just.
John is our current RSR, and I think John would like to answer that.
You're doing a very good job. Keep it up.
To the best of my knowledge, and Narcotics Anonymous doesn't have clubhouses or Alano clubs or those kinds of things. So how you would go about doing that, I don't know.
My name's Barbara. I'm an addict. And in Narcotics Anonymous, we don't have fellowships. We have groups. Just another name for fellowship. And I live in a town that there's 10 people that are clean, and we have 4 meetings a week, and all 4 of our meetings are in the same place. And we call ourselves the Way Out Group, and we have 4 meetings. And our meetings are events, and our group is an entity. And what we're in the process of doing now is writing guidelines for our group so that we have somebody that inventories our literature, and we have somebody that takes care of our cups and our coffee, and we have a place for the newcomer to come and feel worthwhile, and is worthwhile, of course. And what that's done is it's brought a lot of unity to the group and created fellowship within the group. And, you know, what we did is we just went around until we found a place that they'd rent it to us, you know, that was small enough that we could afford and that our prudent reserve would take care of it. And, you know, it's real interesting to me that what we did is we, like, created all these service positions for which we didn't have enough people, of course, to fulfill. But and we, each service position that we created, someone new showed up and took part in. And the group was sort of lost whenever they felt like there was no recovery there. And what it was is that there was no unity. And I think that groups serve a big purpose and fulfill a great need and create a family for us to be able to recover in. Thank you.
I'm Jack. I'm an addict. Like you know, the Orange in Southern California region, PI is right on the back of H&I. We're not way in the back. I just wanted to come up and share that with you and clear the air. I know how these H&Iers get, and it's okay. In PI, we understand. Basically, what I wanted to share about is in our region, our public information. On the regional level, because of the time thing on regional Sunday, you know, and all the agendas, that what we do is we meet quarterly and we have workshops, and each area hosts, and you can't host again until all the areas, and we've got a lot of areas, so it goes all around and helps get people involved in setting it up and doing it, and it helps. And I know that on regional guidelines on for literature reviews, you got to be careful what you write, you know, or somebody will make you follow them, you know. And we had a lot of trouble coming up there from Orange County, and nothing about literature. They are supposed to have a special ad hoc committee to make a newsletter, and all we did was talk about newsletter, and that was an awful long drive to talk about a newsletter. You know, we wanted to get into the work, how and why, the Unity IP. You know, do some work as we're working subcommittees. And so what's going to happen is I think they're going to go on a quarterly basis where they can take care of their business at region there and still have a quarterly workshop where we could work on something, you know, have an all-day thing. And it seems to work real well. And that's just what's happening in our area, in our region. Thank you.
I'm going to make it so good for you, Charlie.
do not move out of the home.
Back, it works.